Ephesians 5. Turn to verse 14, if you will. Now, I've got a lot of scripture tonight, so I went ahead and I wrote them out so I can read them to you without flipping pages, and because a lot of scripture, and we'll never get through if I don't go ahead and read it. And so, but if you want to turn there as I read it, that'll be fine, but I'm not going to wait, okay, but for sake of time. I want to talk to you for just a little bit, really, about the will of God. Most Christians, now you're here on Wednesday night, you're a serious Christian. You went out of your way to go to church on Wednesday night. You must be a serious Christian. You're serious about this thing. A lot of folks didn't because they don't think much of prayer. They don't think much of prayer meetings. They're not as serious about it as you are. So I assume since most of the folks here are serious about it, you would like to know how to know what God's will is for you individually. Now, we know what His will is for the church. Let it go in all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Amen. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying. We know what the will for the church is. We know what the will for our families are. That we would, like He told Noah, go forth and multiply and replenish the earth. You know, we're to have families. We're to have babies. We're to have a husband and a wife and children. And of course, the old devil's thrown some wrenches in that, hasn't he? But when it comes to individual will of God, some folks just don't understand what that means, and they'd like to know. They'd like to know. So tonight, I hope I can help you a little bit. Look at Ephesians chapter 5, verse 14. Wherefore He saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. In other words, when you turn to Christ, He'll wake you up, and He'll give you light, okay? Now, in verse 15, see then that you walk circumspectly. That means right. You know, people used to say, I'm not doing that. I'm trying to live right. When was the last time you heard that? I'm trying to live right. That's what he means. Circumspectly. Walk straight. Walk straight. Talk straight. Do right. Amen. He said, all right, now you're saved. So in verse 15, see that you walk circumspectly. Not as fools. Boy, a lot of foolish people around now. They don't live long because of it, too. But as wise, what's the sign of wisdom? Verse 16, redeeming the time because the days are evil. You better take advantage of every minute you got because the old devil's out to get rid of you anyway. And this might be your last day and you might have wasted the last day you had. Amen? Redeeming the time. Don't just let it slip by because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Now, would you agree with me that the Bible is the inspired by God, infallible, no mistakes, Word of God? Would you agree with that? I believe everybody in here would say that. Or you wouldn't have one. I wouldn't have a Bible that had mistakes in it. Amen. Don't give me a book by Joseph Smith. I'll throw it away. Don't give me one by the Watchtower Society. I'm going to throw that stuff away. Give me an old King James Bible. It's been around for over 400 years, and it's done the work. It stood the test. I'm going to read out of it. Amen? Amen. I don't understand everything in it, but I understand what He wants me to understand. Now, He says in that verse right there, verse 17, don't be unwise. Well, what's the sign of wisdom? Understanding what the will of the Lord is. So I'm going to show you a few things about the will of the Lord. Now, number one, when you're searching for the will of God in your life, not the church, not your husband, not your wife, but yours, when you're searching for the will of God in your life, we look to our supreme example. Who would that be? Jesus Christ. We're disciples. We're followers of Jesus Christ. So if I want to know what the will of God is, I want to go to somebody that knew what the will of God was for him. Amen? And I believe Jesus knew that. Many times He said that He knew what the Father's will was. So I looked at John chapter 6, verse 38, says this. He said this, for I am come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of Him that sent me. That's what Jesus said. I didn't come to do what I wanted to. I came to do what He wanted me to. All right, He's our example. John 5:30, He said this, I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which sent me. Now, if Jesus is my example and he's my ultimate example, I want to be like Jesus. I want to be a little Jesus. I want people to see Christ in me. I don't want them to see me. I was talking to that fellow last night. I was visiting his house. He said, I've become discouraged in the church. I went to this church and the preacher was a crook. And I went to this church and the deacon was a crook. And I went to this church and the people were a bunch of crooks. He said, so I just got discouraged and quit going to church. I said, now, wait a minute. Whoa. I said, now, not everybody is like that. Not everybody's everybody's not a crook. There's some good people. Amen. There's still some good people. God's got a bunch of children. They just don't make a lot of noise. Amen.
Yeah.
I said, now, the Bible still commands that we forsake not the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. Now, we're supposed to go to church. If that church don't work, go to another church. Go to church till you find a church that you believe is close to the Scriptures and get in there. I said, now, but when you get there, don't look at people.
Amen.
You get looking at people, you're going to get disappointed. I said, by the way, if they get to looking at you, they're going to get disappointed. I said, we're all made out of dirt. The Bible says God pities us because we're made out of but dust. I said, I'll let you down. I'm not your Savior. And I said, you'll let me down because you're not the Savior. I said, no, I won't mean to let you down, but somewhere, some way, somehow, I'll fail you. But he'll never fail you. I said, you need to be looking unto Jesus, who's the author and finisher of our faith. Not the pastor, not the deacons, not the choir, not the church. Look to Jesus and he'll lead you to the right church. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Y'all help me here. So if I'm going by Jesus' example, I am going to search to see what God put me here for.
Amen.
You got me? Now, my mama was a wonderful woman, and she had 9 youngins. I'm the last one. But I'm going to tell you something. My mama believed that God, and it's the truth, put her on earth to take care of those 9 youngins.
Yes.
Whatever it took. She worked in the cotton mill. She'd work first shift, second shift, third shift, come home, wore out, cook breakfast and cook supper every day. Every day. We didn't know lunch existed. She'd open that door and say, y'all youngins, get out of the house. Don't you come back here until I call you for supper time. You know, we was in the trees and the creek and everywhere else. But mama knew that God, and she wasn't even a Christian at that time. My mama knew that her purpose on planet Earth was to raise the 9 children that God gave her. Help me.
Amen.
Amen. But later on in life, at age 42, I think, she accepted Christ.
Amen.
Then she found out that God had another will for her life, which was to serve Him, and by serving Him, she'd be serving us. Because she quit drinking liquor, and she quit running around with that crowd that did, and she stayed at home, and she quit dancing, all that stuff. Got her Bible, she'd read her Bible every night, she prayed, went to church every Sunday, and she began to serve God. By serving God and finding her will in Him, His will in her, then that, by doing that, it served her children also.
Amen.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
If you'll find God's will in your life, all that other stuff will fall in line. Now, Jesus said, I came to do the Father's will. If you'll start doing the Father's will above yours or your husband's, your wife, your children, your grandchildren, and we have a way of letting our grandchildren and children tell us what to do, don't we? And we need to lay that aside and do His will, whether the grandchildren or the children like it or not. Amen? So, you say, well, preacher, what is His will toward us? Well, I'm glad you asked. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9 says this, He is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now, repentance is a change of mind. It's a turnaround. I turn from what I wanted, which was sin, to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's repentance. That's it. There's no penance. It's repentance. Penance is doing something. Repentance is turning to somebody and letting them do something. And
amen.
So He changes your life when you change to, come to Him. So number one, we know that He's not willing that anybody goes to hell.
Right.
People tell me this, well, how can you love God that sends people to hell? I say, God never sent one soul to hell, not one.
Right. Come on now.
They made that choice.
Amen.
They refused his son, and they died and went to hell. That's how simple it was. They made a conscious choice. God gets everybody to that point where you've got to make a conscious choice. Today is the day of salvation. You do it today or you're not going to do it at all, and you'll die and go to hell. And they made that decision. God didn't make that decision. Hell wasn't even made for them. It's made for the devil and the angels, but he's got to put them somewhere since they refuse his love and his grace.
Come on.
Amen. Yeah. All right, so we know his will toward us is to be saved. Would you say amen?
Amen.
Help me, Kathy. I heard no Kentucky, Tennessee accent on that one, okay? We're going to go home and cook some beans. I also know this. John chapter 6, verse 39 says, "And this is the Father's will which sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day." Now, we know it's not God's will that anybody should perish, go to hell. And so it's God's will for you to be saved. I thank God I found that. Amen. Martin Field, 1978, I turned to him. All right. Now, we also know once that you're saved, we know it's his will to keep you secure. You don't do that. You're not powerful enough to do that. You can't do that.
So
you ain't going to go through tomorrow without sinning. You're not. Nobody in here is going to go through tomorrow without sinning. And it's not always something you do. Sometimes he didn't know it, do good and do with it not to him is sin. Sometimes what you don't do is a sin. And we're all made out of the same Adam. We've all got that Adamic nature. Wherefore was by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin. So then death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. So we've got that in us. So we can't keep ourselves secure in salvation. God has to do that. And that's what he said. He said, "And this is the Father's will which sent me, that all of which he has given me, I should lose nothing, but raise it up again in that last day." When you receive Jesus Christ, you get the promise of God of protection forever.
Amen.
You can't die and go to hell. Boy, I preached that one time over the chain gang. I used to preach up there every Monday night. Had a big crowd coming. And boy, they liked my preaching until one night I said, "If you get saved, you can't go to hell." I said, "I'm fireproof. I couldn't go to hell if I wanted to because he saved me, and now he keeps me because he said, 'You're in my hand and my hand's in the Father's hand and no man can pluck you out.'" And that includes your man too, buddy. You can't pluck yourself out. You're a child of his now. He'll whip you. Hebrews chapter 12 says, "Chastens those whom he loves." He don't cast them all. He'll whip you, but he'll never send you to hell once you receive his son. Because, see, he let his son die for all your sins. You said, "But wait a minute, I've sinned since I asked him to save me." Hey, all your sins were in the future when he died. It ain't like he just paid for your sins up till today, the day that you asked him to save you. He paid for all your sins that you committed in the past, the present, or will yet. He hath, he doth, and he yet will deliver us, he says. So number one, we know it's God's will to be saved. Number two, we know it's God's will to be secure. Now, you say, "Well, how do I learn God's individual will for myself?" That's for everybody. You understand that? That's for everybody. Now, Philippians 2, verse 12 and 13 says this: "Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure." Now, you know what he's saying? If you want to learn the will of God, here's what you got to do. You get saved, and then you say, "Okay, now, Lord, what I do?" You don't work to be saved. But once you're saved, then you say, "Well, Lord, what do you want me to do?" And he'll say, "Well, I want you to get baptized." That's working out your salvation. And then you get baptized. You say, "Well, what do you want me to do, Lord, now, Lord?" And he'll say, "Well, I want you to join the local church." And you'll do that. That's working out your salvation. Not working for salvation. It's working out your salvation. And then you join church. You say, "Well, what do I do now, Lord?" And he says, "Okay, I want you to partake of the Lord's Supper." And that's working out your salvation. It don't save you. It's just working out the salvation you already have. Then you do that, and he says, "Well, I want you to be a witness. I want you to be filled with the Spirit. I want you to walk circumspectly. I want you to come out from among them and be ye separate, says the Lord. I want you to touch not the unclean thing. I want you to be a witness for me." And so once you get saved, then you work out that salvation. That's just like... somebody might let's say she was talking about police a while ago, and she talks a lot about police. Have you ever noticed that? But suppose we make you a policeman. Well, just putting that uniform on you and a badge on you and you saying no, that doesn't make you a policeman. A policeman's got to get up and go out there and work out his job. Amen? Got to get up and go and do it. Amen? A preacher does more than just claim a title and take a salary. He's got to get up and go out there and work out his salvation. Now, that doesn't save him, but it's the will of God that we do that. Maybe it's playing the piano. Maybe it's singing in the choir. Maybe it's raising 9 children. Boy, that'd be a whole lot harder than singing in the choir and playing piano, wouldn't it? Amen. And for it's God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Do you know what that means? That means while the preacher is preaching on salvation, you're already saved. He's talking to you. He said, and the Holy Spirit's saying, you need to get baptized. Everything preacher says, the Holy Spirit's teaching you, well, you need to get baptized. Because, see, He's working out His will in you. And then you get baptized. And then the preacher preaches on missions. And the Holy Spirit, everything the preacher says, all you hear is, you need to be a witness yourself. You need to start witnessing to people. You need to start witnessing to people. You need to start. And the preacher can preach on the creation of the universe. And while it doesn't matter what I preach, people walk out the door and say, you stepped on my toes today. And I didn't mention one thing about them or what they were doing. It was God that was working in them, see, trying to show them His will for their life. Everybody's life's not the same. God's will is not the same for every life. So while you're saved, then God starts working in you. Here's how He did with me. I was saved March 5th, 1978, Eastside Baptist Church. And I had never known but one pastor, and that's that pastor there. I was 23 years old. Never been to Sunday school, hardly ever been to church in my life. And so I'm listening to him, and after about 6 months, I then started reading the Bible. I started going to Sunday school, and the more I learned, the more I wanted to learn. I was excited, man, and it's all I wanted to talk about. And people didn't want to be around me no more at work and stuff like that. They'd call me deacon. They'd call me preacher, you know. And I said, well, I don't even know what that is, but I guess I don't know. After a year, I'd start reading the Bible, and I'd be reading where God was talking to Moses, and I didn't hear it out loud, but in my heart, I felt like He was saying, "Ron, go tell him, Ron, go tell him, Ron, go tell him, Ron." And God'd be talking to Peter, and I felt like He was talking to me. You know, you're going to be a witness, and talking to Elijah, I felt like He was talking to me, and I didn't know that's what being called to preach was. I didn't know. I thought everybody heard that. I thought everybody felt that way when they read the Bible. I really did. I was so ignorant. And finally, it got to where every sermon convicted me about surrendering to the will of God in my life, that I become a preacher. Not pastor, just preacher. And so finally, I couldn't stand it no more. That's all I thought about when I slept, in my dreams I dream about. It's all I thought about when I ate. It's all I thought about when I worked. It's all I thought. And by the way, once you get a calling for something, that's all you think about. And that's all I think about now. I am a boring person. If you knew me personally, I'm very boring. Now, Rudy, you didn't have to nod your head on that. I saw you. He went. I lost track of NASCAR. I lost track of NFL. I lost track of baseball. I lost track of everything except the calling that God put on me. Now all I think about is people to go visit, people who went to the Lord, people to try to rescue out of their problems, you know, and think about that. Well, that's God in me working it out. That's not me. That's God in me putting His will in me.
Amen.
And He'll do the same thing to you. Ron's preaching in four nursing homes. Now that's God in you working out your salvation. That's not you. That's God. He's put His will in you, and you found His will, and you surrendered to it. So now God can use you, see. God's will in you is for you to support Him and help Him do that, see. That's God's will in you. God's will in you is to play that piano. I know it is. Nobody could play it like that if it wasn't God's will. Some of your Sunday school teachers, that's God's will. God put that in you. And you go ahead and admit it. You think about it a lot, about being a Sunday school teacher and the people that you influence. So that's what he's talking about. Personally, okay? It's God that worketh in you. See, I told you this was a long sermon. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6 says this. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. Now, wait a minute, most people stop right there, but don't stop. That next verse says this. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. That means put him in everything you do. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. Then he shall direct thy path. He'll show you his will. He'll put you in his will, see. When I first started preaching, I didn't know what a preacher was, and nobody ever invited me to preach. You know, our home church did one time. They never asked me to do it again. And they gave me a couple little old Sunday school classes. When I was in Bible college, they gave me a class of old people that didn't want to hear the Bible and couldn't nobody stay in there. They were so mean. So they put a 20-something-year-old boy in there teaching 50-something-year-old people, stiff-necked and unlearned and don't care, you know. Wherever they let me preach, I'd go. Nursing homes, I preached at the nursing homes, and I'd get me a place to go regular, and I'd preach at the jails, I'd get me a place to go regular, and at the Army Reserve, I'd get to preach there once a month. I just wiggled my way into places, and see, that was God working out his will in my life. I've seen a lot of preachers surrender to preach, and they got a lot of connections, so all of a sudden, these other people call them to preach, and they couldn't preach fuzz off a peach. And they don't help anybody because they're really not called. When I was in Bible college, we said there's mama called and daddy sent. We also said some were called and some just went. Amen. Amen. But see, as you surrender to God's will, you've been saved, you've been baptized, you take the Lord's Supper, you're a member of a local church, you're trying to be a good witness, you're trying to walk circumspectly, you're reading your Bible, you're studying to show yourself approved, you're praying, and then God begins to put things in you. See, Rudy, he put being a deacon in you. You didn't do that. Your wife didn't do that. He put that in you, see. Now, if he puts it in you, he'll work it out. Yes. He'll work it out. Now, okay, so what do you do now? Trust in him with all your heart. You lean not under your own understanding. You acknowledge him in everything you do, and he will direct thy path, see. All right, now, how do you do the will of God? Ephesians chapter 6, if you want to turn there, and then I got 4 minutes, I'll slow down. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 6. That was my introduction. I don't have but 2 points. That was my introduction. Preach another one, amen. You go to them places, those gospel singers, people say, sing another one. I ain't never went anywhere and they said, preach another one. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 6 says this. This is how you do his will. Not with eye service, as men pleasers. Don't do it just because people's watching. That's like the guy down there on the job, that gal down there on the job. She only does it when the boss man's watching. Ephesians 6, 6. Not with eye service, as men pleasers, but as servants of Christ. Doing the will of God from the heart, not for show. It's your passion. It's what you desire to do. It's your heartfelt desire. This is what you're going to do. And you don't care if anybody's watching or not. And by the way, the greatest Christians are those that nobody ever sees doing the will of God. That's why I don't like people to clap when I preach. I don't want nobody to say amen, praise God, hallelujah. That's giving God the glory. But to clap for a preacher, I just ain't going to do it. Not for show. You do it from the heart. I always tell people, people come to me and ask me, can they do this or should they do that? I say, I don't know, what's your heart say? Well, I'm educated. I've took training, you know. I've done it before. I say, yeah, but what's in your heart? If it's not in your heart, it's not the will of God, because God would have put it in your heart.
Yes.
And if it's not in your heart, it's not the will of God, you're not going to do it long, and you're not going to do it well.
Come on now.
Because you're doing it for some other reason than Jesus Christ. So how do you do His will? Not with eye service, not like men pleasers, but you do it from the heart. Colossians chapter 3, look at it, verse 23. Colossians 3, verse 23. You ain't mad at me, are you? It don't matter if you are or not. I was preaching before you got mad. I'll still be preaching. Colossians 3. Colossians chapter 3, verse 23. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily, there it is, from your heart, as to the Lord and not unto men. Do it the best you can do it. Do it the best you can do it. People used to come in here because we were desperate. And they'd want to sing. And y'all remember some of them. And they'd bring these stinking CDs in here. And it didn't have music on it. It had words and everything. That background, you remember, it had other people singing on it. They were just singing along. It was like karaoke. And it never failed. They'd get up here and they'd start singing and they'd be out of tune and out of time. They'd say, hold it, hold it. Stop the CD. Start it over. And I'm sitting there saying, why did I let these people get up there? They're not doing this from the heart. They're doing it from a script. And if the script ain't right, they got to start over. If they'd been doing it from the heart in the first place, they wouldn't even needed the stinking CD. They could have went and sang without it. They had a tent revival out at Red River a couple of years ago. It was supposed to be a revival. Me and my wife went out there. There was probably 25 or 30 people there. And I was supposed to preach that night. It was kind of chilly. It must have been around October. It was kind of chilly. And we got out there, and there's people up there on the platform. They kept messing with this machinery. And they were pushing buttons and pulling things and talking to each other, can't get to work. And it's past time to start, and I'm sitting down on the front. They're over there messing with that thing and pushing CDs in and out, messing with it. And I said, it's time to start. And they said, we can't get the sound system to work. I said, start without it. They said, we can't. We got a CD. I said, sing without it. We can't. That's the songs I got on there. They're on the CD. I said, somebody go get a hymn book. Somebody run in church, got some hymn books, passed them out. And the woman that was going to sing from the CD had five songs she was going to sing. Woo! She's good. Yeah. Thank God the CD didn't work. Amen? Yes. And I handed her a songbook. She said, what am I supposed to do with this? I said, lead the singing with it. You're a singer. Oh, I can't sing without the CD. I said, give me the songbook. I'll lead the singing. I said, open it up. Are you washed in the blood? We sang Are You Washed in the Blood. Had a good time. And then I sang, at the cross. Let's sing at the cross. So we sang at the cross. We sang about three songs. I said, you can throw that stinking sound system away and still have church. I don't know why y'all think you got to have a sound system to have church. What did they do before they had sound system?
Come on, man. Yeah.
I guess didn't nobody have church before then. Didn't have the bright flashing lights and the sound systems and the fake music. They had people on there singing with them. You know, they'd come up here and they'd have somebody. And all they're doing was singing along with the people on the CD, Brother Holroyd. Make me so mad, I want to spit. Whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord, not unto men. You see, if this is what you're looking for. Woo! That was a good one. Sang another one. If that's what you're looking for, you're doing it for men, not the Lord. Amen. I like that. Went down there to Maxon, North Carolina, down there where the Lumbee and what's the other Indians? Pembroke Indians. Brother Buck's church. Woo! Man. I felt like the middle of an Oreo. I was so white in there. And I went down there preaching. I was the pale face, you know. I was the pale face. And went there preaching. And I got to preaching on hell. I mean, I was preaching on hell. And those old Indian ladies, they broke out those hankies and started going, woo! Woo! preaching. They shouted me out. They really, and I just stopped and let them shout. When they got through, I started, and it wasn't 2 minutes. Those Hankins was going, I was shouting again. I just stopped and said, bless them, Lord. Amen. And the Lord come down in that place, and those people got to crying and shouting. I just quit preaching. I got up after they finally settled down. I got up, I closed out, you know, and said amen, gave the invitation. But they worship with all their heart. As to the Lord, not a stinking sound box or flashing lights or something. So now, if God's put it in you, do it with all your might. Now, I've never been much of a preacher. I told that fellow last night, I said, I promise you've come to my church. I'm not much of a preacher. I'll do my best. I said, but I'll guarantee you this, you'll have the best pastor in this town. I'll be there if you need me. I'll come. And boy, he got teared up, you know, and he got to tell me about all the things he'd been through. But whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord, not unto men. Amen, Brother Ron?
Amen, that's right.
It don't matter if they got Alzheimer, dementia, or whatever they got. Do it as unto the Lord. It'll get through to them. I used to preach out there at Catawba Nursing Home behind Bowwaters. It's the county poorhouse. That's where they send people that would be homeless. And I'd be in there preaching, and this one old fella, he walked through the whole time I was preaching. He'd walk through, and he'd walk up that hall, and I was standing here in the cafeteria. And he'd walk back, and he'd walk through that hall, and he'd walk back while I was preaching. And when he wouldn't ever look up, he'd just walk. And you could pick up his hand to shake it, and he wouldn't even look at you, just shake it, and it'd drop back down. But I'm telling you what, before we was over, during the invitation usually, you look back there in the kitchen, he'd be back there on the floor in the kitchen on his knees with both his hands up in the air and tears just running down his face and praying out loud. Praying out loud. God got to him. Amen? Amen. A lot of preachers wouldn't even go in there and preach to them people, brother. Amen. Do it as unto the Lord. Don't worry about what anybody else thinks. If you're going to teach Sunday school, do it. If you're going to sing, do it. If you're going to witness, do it. Don't worry about what people think. Worry about what God says. Amen? Amen. If he put it in your heart, he's the one that put it in your heart, not men. Ephesians 2:10, for we are his workmanship. He made us this way. Somebody gets mad at you and says, I don't like you. Say, well, talk to the Lord. He made me this way. I'm his workmanship. Amen?
Amen.
Well, you're some kind of fanatic. I don't know what you call it. Talk to him. He's the one that made me like this. Amen. Take it up with him. Amen. Created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. You know what you need to do? You need to let him mold you.
Yes.
And make you into something that you never thought you'd be.
Thank you, Lord.
I'm not much of a preacher, but I tell you this. Nobody ever thought I'd be a preacher. It still shocks people. I see people down in Lancaster when I go see Mama and they'll say, you ain't the one I knew. You ain't the Ron Ray I knew. I said, no, I'm not. I'm not. I heard you got religion. I said, they lied to you. I ain't got no religion. I said, I got Jesus. I said, he saved me. I have salvation. I don't have religion. I don't burn any candles or light anything or have no pictures or statues. I said, he saved me. He keeps me. He called me. He uses me. It's all him. So blame it on him. Don't blame it on me. I didn't do any of this. He did every bit of it. And same way with you. Whatever you are, he made you that way. If you submit to his will and you become his workmanship, then you'll be in the perfect will of God. You say, well, I'm not preaching. I don't know what to do. Do what you know.
Yes. Amen.
Do what you know. You don't have to do what everybody else knows. Do what you know. And by the way, take baby steps. Usually those that jump from the altar saying they're saved up to the pulpit don't last long. Baby steps, Brother Dan. Amen. Amen. Let him mold you and make you as you want. And be willing to turn. Be willing to go a different direction. I know you've probably went in several directions. I know I have. And he'll turn you that way. But here's what you got to do. You got to surrender to him. Surrender to him. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. And all them old things pass away, all things become new. And if you want to please Him, get in His will, you know what you do? You just surrender and say, Lord, here I am. I'm just an old pile of dirt. I'm not much. But if You can use me to do anything, I'm willing. And then you say, well, He didn't tell me nothing to do. Well, go ahead and do what you know. Read your Bible every day. Pray every day. Be good to people every day. Love sinners. Love saints. Love His church. Go to church. Join church. Get baptized. Take part in Lord's Supper. Be a witness. Amen. Come on. Help me.
Yes.
You do what you know. And then if you're faithful in little, He said, I'll give you much.
Amen.
And He's testing you a lot of times. Let's see what you're going to do with this. Now you go and do it. Then He'll say, okay, you was faithful in that. Now let me put you over here. Now let me give you this gift. You was good on that last gift. Let me give you another gift. That's the will of God for us.
Amen.
Let's stand. Father, thank You. Didn't mean to preach so long. Get preaching. I preach like